It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
Everybody!
How's it going?
It's well.
Good.
It's good. It's good.
It's well.
It's okay. Okay. How's your weekend?
My weekend's been good. It's been eventful, so I was really tired yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So I took a nap, which is not like me. I'm not a napper, because naps make me actually kind of grumpy.
I like the thought of a nap.
Yeah.
I don't really like doing it. Whenever I lay down, I can't fall asleep.
Yeah, it's your mind, like, going.
Yeah, it thinks of that I could be doing at that very second instead of taking a nap.
I kind of hate the thought of, like, taking a nap and then being, like, super unproductive.
Yeah.
Because then when you wake up, you're still kind of, like, a little unproductive because you're groggy or whatever.
Yeah.
So that, I think, bothers me the most about a nap. I'm like, I'll just go to bed early if I'm tired.
I just feel like I need to be productive.
Me too.
Yeah,
If it's during the day, if it's on the weekend, I gotta be doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. So that was fine. But today's been good. We've been busy today.
We have been busy.
We've been recording some stuff. And yeah, we've had a productive day.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think we have. I mean, it's still pretty early. We're recording at a different time.
Again.
Is this our new thing? Because I feel like we always say that this is like our normal.
I
like
know.
We've been saying that a lot.
Maybe our normal now is just not having a designated recording time on a Sunday.
It's just like, hey,
improvise.
When do you want to do it? When can we do
great.
It? We have busy lives, people.
We do.
We
are popular bitches, okay? Too much?
That's right.
It's a stretch.
Well.
It's fine.
You know what? You can live in that world.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I like that world for us.
We're fantastic.
We're here. We're drinking some Riesling on a 1:30 on a Sunday. And, you know, we're just knocking shit out.
Maybe we should have had mimosas.
Oh, man. What a missed opportunity.
Well, I'm pretty sure this is going to probably happen again.
Next time we'll have mimosas.
Oh, we're going to have mimosas.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's going to be our thing.
If we record, like, during brunch hours again, we will have mimosas.
I feel like we should have food, too.
Cheese?
I mean...
It's always cheese and crackers. It always is, right?
It really is.
I mean,
why, it's good.
Fix it? It's not broke, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should.
I think. I don't believe that for everything, by the way. Just for us having cheese and crackers, I do.
And wine or mimosas, you know, whatever.
100%.
Yeah. So what did we watch?
We watched some more of Midnight Mass. Mm-hmm. So we'll be talking about episode 6 today of the Netflix series.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is the episode where I feel like things started getting good.
They did.
Yeah.
They really did. I think it was 5 and 6 were the strongest ones. 4, 5, and 6. But 5 and 6 were probably my favorites.
I think 6 is my favorite because I think the most happened in 6. The most moments of like, the fuck?
Yeah. I think I have that in my notes too.
Uh-huh.
Be like, ooh, this is, what?
Wait.
What's happening?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So this episode, I think, probably of the series, I think this was probably one of the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we hop in, a couple of reminders.
Okay.
TipsyBod.com. It has everything you need to know and find about our podcast. It has all of our social media on there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. Hey, just going, dude, in the background. Does that count as participating?
I was trying to get it and I couldn't. And I just, you know what? And I started it and it just needed to continue. I just needed to finish it out. I did.
You committed to it.
I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter.
So you can find all of our social media on there. You can follow us, subscribe. You can go to our YouTube channel, watch a bunch of our goofy watch-alongs. Those are fantastic.
And enjoy. The only time that I get scared is when you scare the crap out of me when you're scared.
You're welcome.
Okay.
It's a win-win for both of us.
Is it?
If I get scared, you gotta be scared too. You can also find ways to support our show, like our Patreon.
Yes.
Okay. Three different tiers on the Patreon. You pick the one that works best for you, and you get all types of cool goodies. You get ad-free episodes. Mm-hmm. You get exclusive content. We've done some interviews, and those videos of those interviews are only on our Patreon. And also, some of those interviews, too, are not on our normal feed. So Patreon will have those interviews there. Exclusive, guys.
Exclusive. Like, mm-hmm. Total exclusivity.
Yeah.
Did I say that
right?
You also
get... Yeah, but Courtney gets better.
What?
There's
what?
More.
What?
But wait, there's more. You get the episodes a day earlier than everybody else on yes. Patreon, so they come out for you on Tuesday. And you also get to give us suggestions on some of the scary movies that we will add to our list, uh-huh. And you can vote on the scary movies that are on that list. Like, we will have people give us suggestions, and then we'll come up with a top list, and then you can vote on the ones. And that episode that you vote on, we will give you a shout-out for.
Yeah, anytime that anybody would like to suggest a really scary movie that will terrify Stephanie, uh-huh. That will be the best one.
I feel like I'm being targeted here.
No, you are.
I don't think that's necessarily the point of this podcast.
Oh, no. No, it is, actually.
Or if you guys want to suggest some paranormal ones that will piss off Courtney and just make her angry, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Because if
I'm
going to get targeted, so are you, girl.
Yeah, because there's probably going to be an episode coming up that I'm not going to.
She's going to be angry.
I am going to be angry.
She's going to be angry. Yeah. This is great.
So basically, you're just targeting me to be angry.
If you're targeting me to get scared, then I'm going to target you to get angry.
Okay, fine.
It's a two-way street, girl. Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Yes, please.
An isolated island community experiences miraculous events and frightening omens after the arrival of a charismatic, mysterious young priest.
I still love that line. He is very charismatic, and I do love that about him.
So accurate about
him.
I know. Would you like to have a lightning recap of episode 5?
If I didn't, I would be mad. So,
and yes. I don't want to disappoint you.
No, I do not like to be disappointed.
Okay.
Ready? 1, 2, 3, go.
Riley is still missing and no one knows where he is, but this woman goes into the sheriff's office / grocery store to report her son being missing, but her son is that drug dealer guy who went into that abandoned house willingly. Remember when he heard his own voice?
I
don't know what the hell happened there. So he went to that abandoned house. Mass is being moved to midnight. Get it?
Midnight, mass.
Get it?
Okay.
Everyone sees Dr. Sarah's mom goes to mass and she is looking crazy young. It's all everybody can talk about. And they're all staring at her and super awkward. Aaron now goes to the sheriff's office / grocery store to report Riley being missing. At mass, Father Paul gives another one of his classic motivational speeches, and Mildred is not having it. She doesn't know who this guy is. She doesn't want Sarah to ever go to mass again because she doesn't know who that priest is. Not the man that she knew. That night, Riley resurfaces but only goes to Sarah's house and tells her to come on a rowboat with me in the middle of the ocean. Okay, cool. She does it. And then he tells her all about this weird, crazy, evil, angel, trench coat wearing demon that sucked his blood like a vampire. And now when the sun comes up in the morning, he bursts into flames right in front of Aaron and she freaks out. That's what happens.
He's dust, basically.
Yeah. Basically, he is ashes on this rowboat and Aaron had to witness the entire thing.
And so she's sitting there to herself like, what the fuck just happened?
She was screaming while he was combusting. It was really not okay. He did not warn her properly. Whatever, we'll get into it.
He didn't, but he said, he's like, you're not going to know until you actually see it.
Yeah,
like,
and I guess she wouldn't have believed him anyway until he like completely...
Who would have?
Yeah, she's like, you're full of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you drinking again?
Nope.
That's probably what happened.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, nobody's going to sell him alcohol on that island, especially since his mom is in charge of the grocery store. I mean, and the sheriff's office.
Sheriff's office / grocery store.
I mean, he's not going to get through the door, basically. Okay. So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
We begin with Aaron still on the boat.
Shook.
Looking at the ashes, blowing around, trying to process just what happened to her.
Did you notice that his shoes did not go into flames?
They didn't.
I think that's weird. So she's looking at all of the ashes on this seat because she eventually has to row herself back to land, which sucks because he was sitting in like the rowing position.
So now she has to sit where
he... So she has to either like push some ashes away or sit on his ashes, which is weird.
Yeah.
But when it shows the boat, there's ashes everywhere except for his leather boots. And I thought that was strange because all of his clothes went up in flames.
Maybe they're fire retardant. Maybe he bought a pair because he knew that he was going to be going into flames and he wanted a part of his wardrobe to still like be a
live on with him.
Exactly. Or without him.
Without him. Yeah. So there's just Ash and two leather boots in this boat with Aaron.
I didn't even think about that.
It's so weird to
that
me.
That is weird.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. He likes his boots fire retardant.
Good for
fire
him.
Resistant. Okay. Obviously, she's, like you said, sits in his spot, rows back to land. Then we see Father Paul. He stands outside of his house. Mm-hmm. He's got this look on his face. He looks real irritated.
Like he knows.
He knows something. Uh-huh. And so, but we don't get into it just this very second. We're kind of doing like a recap. So now we see Riley's parents and brother wake up, find the cards that Riley had left for them laying on their beds for each of them when he visited their room before he left to get on the boat with Aaron.
Yep. He wrote the like little like goodbye notes. And left it on their beds.
And we don't know what they said.
It's weird.
Okay, but we'll find out.
We'll get there.
So Erin starts walking back to her house and passes by the church and sees Sturge putting new letters on the church board kiosk or key. What are they called? What's the thing called?
Well, it's like the sign in front of the church, but it's the ones where he puts the letters on it, but like some of the letters are numbers.
That really irritates you.
Because I just don't understand it. Like, okay, guys, they don't have like a budget for it. Just go to the mainland and buy more letters. I don't get it.
Well, maybe they don't have
like,
a budget.
Not every A has to be a 4.
Well, not everybody. Probably they don't care.
Maybe they just don't have enough letters so that some of the A's have to be 4s, but it just bothers me.
Well, maybe
they're constantly updating it. Get letters.
You know, okay, hey,
it's not like they never use it.
Listen.
They use it every day.
Maybe that style of letter has been discontinued.
An A?
Hey.
It's got to be like the most popular vowel.
The style of letters.
Oh,
like
it's that old?
Like the brand or whatever.
It's and like so, that old, they can't get the letters anymore?
Exactly. And they don't want it to look weird, so they want to kind of keep the same thing, but they
now
don't.
Now that makes me mad that they won't update their letter system.
Well, maybe. Well, maybe they don't have the money to like do the entire alphabet. Ugh. And so they're just going to stick with what they got.
Yeah, four will do.
What happened to all the A's, though? Did they get mad?
I know. It's like, did they only have one A?
Did everybody had to wear the scarlet letter for Aaron when she came back and they took
all shaming her?
I don't know.
Maybe. Okay,
anyways.
Ugh, it's
tangent.
Annoying.
Okay. Yeah. So basically the sign now says mass is at midnight.
Yeah.
So,
get it?
Okay. Stephanie, it's midnight mass.
Midnight mass. Mass is at midnight.
Okay. All right. Yep. We're going to move on.
This is the mass.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So she knocks on Dr. Sarah's door to ask for help. And they're sitting around this kitchen table. And Aaron just told Sarah about what had happened. We don't go through it because we know what happened.
We saw it.
So she kind of goes through that and basically what Riley had told her. Mm-hmm. She thinks that she is crazy and knows that Sarah thinks the same thing.
Yeah. Sarah goes, you do sound crazy.
Yeah. You do sound crazy.
Yeah. It sounds crazy.
Sarah goes to tell her a story and asks if she has ever heard of Ignaz Semmelweis, I think is his name. I don't know.
He's a Hungarian physician.
He is a Hungarian physician from the 1940s. Mm-hmm. He came up with the theory that if physicians washed their hands before going into the maternity ward and delivering babies, that people wouldn't die.
Yeah, because they were saying they noticed that all these nurses were working also in the morgues.
Uh-huh.
And there was this huge high death rate of babies being born. So this guy was like, hey, novel idea. Maybe when you leave the morgue, you should wash your hands before you deliver a baby. And
it worked.
It worked because the deaths of babies completely dropped, but they all thought he was crazy because he had a crazy idea to be clean, which was not what was happening then. And they basically put him in a psych center.
Yeah. It didn't take hold for like another 20 years.
Yeah. He died at that psych center and the baby deaths skyrocket again once people stopped washing their hands. Go figure.
And so it took another 20 years to figure out why. I don't understand. They're physicians.
It
should have
been immediate. Like, oh, hey, we're seeing a trend now. Maybe they should wash their hands again. But don't they admit they're wrong. They're men. Oh, they're not going to do it.
You know what? You're right. That's what the problem
it's
is.
It's pride.
Because women couldn't be doctors.
Right.
So
they just had dirty hand nurses.
You know what? It all makes sense. Uh-huh. It really does.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Sarah says that the story that Aaron told her was crazy. Mm-hmm. She knows that. But she goes on to tell her something crazy as well.
Yeah.
About her mother.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she had been drawing blood and sending it to the mainland because something keeps happening.
Yep.
She asked Aaron again about Riley combusting into flames when the sun came out. And she said, yeah, I remember. I was there like 5 hours ago.
It literally traumatized me.
So she's like, okay, hold my beer. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
So she pours a little bit of blood into a Petri dish and tells her just to watch what happens. Yep. She puts it in the sunlight, bursts into flames.
Yeah. So she's saying that the blood from her mother and the blood from Aaron did the same thing.
Yes.
So what was happening is that the sunlight was making this blood go on fire until all of whatever was on the blood went away. And it was just their blood left in the Petri dish.
Correct.
What?
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Well, the smoke detector ends up going off.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah's mother runs into the room where they're at, looking as young as Sarah, if not younger.
Yeah. I was like, she looks straight up 30.
Yeah. She was like a baby.
Uh-huh.
So now we're with Bev,
mm-hmm.
Brady bitch.
I hate her.
She goes to Father Paul's house, closes the windows, and tells him that he needs to be careful.
I hate
because
her.
She knows he's going to burst into flames. So he walks out of his room, says that he's gone.
Uh-huh.
And
he can just feel it.
He can feel it. He doesn't know how, but he can just feel it. So then Miss Kearns, Bev, mm-hmm. she starts talking in circles again like she normally does in her little soapbox.
I can't stand it. She goes on a tangent every time she talks.
I know.
And it infuriates me. I'm like, get to the point and move the fuck on.
She can't.
She can't.
She can't.
Everything is a long fucking speech. And then she has all these like Bible verses like kind of like wedged into her whole mantras that she's doing. And yeah. I'm like, stop.
Just can
get
you,
to the point.
Can you synopsize for us?
Yes. Just give us some cliff notes. Just bullet points maybe? No? Okay.
Well, she basically what she is saying in a couple words is how Riley is ruining and poisoning it for others. Mm-hmm. This whole experience for others.
He should be looking at it as he's blessed.
Right.
But he's not.
He's not.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So Sarah, Aaron, and her mother are sitting around the dining room table mm-hmm. discussing why the blood is doing what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sarah goes to say that it's possibly a blood disorder called EPP.
Yep.
Basically, it's a sensitivity to light. People with very anemic blood have this thing.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks that is something that is being ingested, like a virus, an enzyme, parasite. I think she said something. I don't know. Whatever.
Say something has been ingested by people on this island. A virus, an enzyme, a new type of cell, some kind of parasite. Who knows? Something that repairs damaged cells, is violently photosensitive, and causes an insane anemia. A desperate hunger for iron. Iron in blood. Now, at first, this thing in the blood is only present in trace amounts. But as that ratio increases, the physical alterations become more pronounced.
Mm-hmm. So they showed the people drinking from the cup, the blood of Christ, in church. So it kind of flashes to them. So we are kind of understanding where this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And both the blood from her mother and Aaron's has trace amounts, burns up normal blood, like you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then Riley had a massive amount, apparently, which she's thinking about it. Like she's thinking that this is probably
because
a potential
she's
option.
Basically like, okay, if what happened to Riley is what you said happened, that he got his blood sucked by this weird vampire thing and then it got like replenished back into his body, then it would make sense for his whole body to combust when the sun hit him because of what was happening in the Petri dish.
Right.
Oh boy.
So Aaron asks what happened if someone who is pregnant ingests this thing, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Sarah tells her that the fetus is an alien presence in the human body. Mm-hmm. She tells her that it may have killed her baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Aaron just kind of sits back and she's like, now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Now I'm pissed.
Because these assholes murdered my baby.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sarah's mother asks if they still have most of their blood in their body and could we stop it? Like, is there any way that we can kind of like revert this thing or just, you know, can we get more of our own blood in there?
Sure.
Sarah says she doesn't know. Well, obviously she doesn't.
This is all speculation, guys. I don't know.
She's just kind of like pulling from her medical background.
Right.
And of course, this is something that isn't going to be medically like, I don't even know how they describe it.
And also, she's like one of the main, well, there's a people on the island who don't go to church, but she does not go to church. She is a doctor. She's very science girl. She does not go to church at all. So even if she wanted to bring up this like theory to anybody, no one would believe her because they're all completely different mindset than she is.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So as they're kind of ending this little conversation, Aaron tries to remember what Riley had said to her at the end. Mm-hmm. And she said that she wasn't entirely sure of everything that he had told her. But what she does remember is that he told her to run.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So what are we running from?
So you should probably run.
I would run.
Hell yeah.
I'd be off that island so quick.
Uh-huh.
So Riley's dad, Ed, goes to Father Paul's house.
Mm-hmm.
Bev answers the door.
I can't stand her.
Because she's always fucking there.
She's a leech.
She's always there.
Mm-hmm.
Father Paul, the mayor, his wife, Sturge are all there.
Mm-hmm.
Father Paul asks why Ed is there. because apparently he is interrupting them. He's very nice about it, but he's like, why are you here?
Yeah, and Dolly, the mayor's wife, was like crying too. Right. The whole thing is awkward and weird. They don't tell us what's happening.
No.
Yeah, but Ed said that he wants to know if he can speak to him privately.
Yeah, so everybody leaves.
So Bev, like, excuses everybody, and before this bitch leaves, she, like, puts her hand on Ed's shoulder, and she goes, God bless you, Ed, and leaves. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Well, and I took that as...
because she knows what happened to Riley.
Exactly. So she does know what happens to Riley.
It's so backhanded.
But, right. And it's just like, okay, is he going to be next? Because I was thinking that Father Paul was going to eat him like he had done before.
I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking that she knew that that's why Ed was there, to find out what happened to Riley. And she knew. So in her own twisted, manipulative, gross way, she was like, bless you, Ed, and then left because she knows what happened to Riley. And she knows that Father Paul's not going to tell him.
Yeah.
Because she can't.
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate her.
Well, well, I think you're right, because what I thought was going to happen didn't happen. So Ed asked Father Paul.
At least not yet.
Not yet. We'll see.
We'll get it. We'll get it.
He asked Father Paul if he was having Riley write these letters to his family.
To make amends.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Father Paul says yes, it was part of his recovery. And then Ed says that he doesn't think he's well. Like, mm-hmm. Riley's not well. He said that he wrote this delusional and crazy letter, and he doesn't know where he's gone.
Yep.
So he asked Father Paul, like, what they had discussed in their last AA meeting, and he kind of put Father Paul kind of in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. Ed begins to cry. He said that he could never get on Riley's page ever growing up, and he said that he did his best.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Poor Ed.
Poor Ed. He's just trying.
Just in his own way, and has no idea how to ever help Riley, but his heart was always there, but he had no idea how to ever help him.
I know.
But then Father Paul says to Ed, he said, Riley isn't well, and like quickly changed his words.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this bitch. I know. Okay.
Don't be slipping up if you're going to try to keep a secret here.
Uh-huh. But then he also tells Ed, like, I guess God tells you not to assume the worst, but he teaches everybody to assume the best. And then Father asks Ed, well, do you want me to read the letter that Riley wrote to you, as his own way of snooping to find out what Riley wrote to him?
Of course, yes.
And Ed goes, because he comes to drop bombs too, he says, yes, I want you to. And also, there was a letter that he addressed to Monsignor Pruitt that I thought I could give to you to give to him as well. Gasp.
I know.
What?
You're like, and you know he's going to take that shit.
Right, because Ed said he didn't read it. He was just giving it to the father to see if he can give it to Monsignor.
Of course, Father Paul's going to take it.
But he looks very uncomfortable.
He does.
He doesn't know what's in this letter that Riley wrote to Ed and what's in this Monsignor one.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So he gives Father Paul these letters. Mm-hmm. He leaves.
Yep.
He didn't get eaten like I thought he was going to get eaten.
He's just upset, poor guy, and he leaves.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Father Paul opens the letter addressed to Monsignor.
Yeah.
And all it says is, quote unquote, remember, we are dust, and to dust we shall return.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Because when he became that weird zombie thing,
yeah,
that's what Father Paul told him, and clearly it did not resonate well with Riley.
No, it did not.
He's calling him out on his shit.
He really is. Mm-hmm. Good for you. And just one statement.
Well, it pissed off Father Paul because he just crumpled up the letter and like threw it away.
Yeah.
Like, good for him. I like that he's still bothering him even though he's gone.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. It's like it a lot.
I like it too. So Aaron goes to see Annie.
Yeah.
Aaron hesitantly asks her if she and Ed and Warren wanted to hop on a ferry with her to the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And Annie thinks that it's an odd request that she would ask that and decline since it's an Easter vigil that night.
Yeah. She's like, no, we're all going to midnight mass. Like, I don't, like, we can't go tonight.
Aaron, you should go too.
Yeah.
Okay. So Annie asks for Aaron's help and is worried about Riley and wants him to come home. And she flat out tells Annie that
Riley's dead.
Annie tells her just to be quiet. Like, Aaron is trying to, like, explain herself. And basically, I felt like Annie, like, was, like, put her finger on her lips. Like, just
be quiet. Shh, shh, no.
Just be quiet.
Yeah.
Just be quiet. So she said that they have always tried to be there for her, for Aaron, and gets in her face and basically pushes her off her property.
Yeah. She kicks her out. She tells her to get out and leave. And she just snaps and gets pissed whatever Aaron has to say and doesn't want to hear it. Awkward.
Well, I try to put myself into her situation. And I don't, I mean, the thing is that Aaron's coming to her and saying that she's dead. And they've been spending a lot of time together.
Sure.
Why would Aaron lie?
Right. Because she's choosing to remain in denial.
Correct.
She doesn't want to believe it. But I feel like that's not the normal reaction. I feel like any other person would have been like, what are you talking about? Like, how do you know this? Like, where is this coming from?
Well, because he had a drinking problem. Like,
right. And so, he left everybody. Like, maybe, I don't know if Ed, I think Ed told Father Paul that he didn't show Annie the note.
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like he did, but I'm thinking like Warren has to know something. Ed knows something's up. Maybe Annie doesn't, but she would still like You'd think I have questions about, like, where is this coming from?
Right.
Nope.
No, she not at all. Out. She does. She gets pissed.
Uh-huh.
So now we are with Dr. Sarah talking to the sheriff, telling him that she was going to go to the mainland tonight to give some blood samples to her colleagues. And then she's going to come back for help. And the sheriff is like, what?
Yeah.
Why do you need help? Like, what's happening? So he's like, you're telling me that there is a contagion that's being spread intentionally at St. Patrick's Church. And she wants him to investigate. And he's like,
he's like, people at the church already don't like me.
Right.
So how am I going to investigate the church based on what? An assumption?
Oh, my gosh. Well, he goes on this huge tangent.
Another tangent.
This is his tangent. And this is like the first one that he's
they
really
done.
They
all have soapboxes.
They really do.
And every episode, at least one person goes on these long ass tangents and it makes me crazy.
Yeah. It's basically like it was about he was on a terrorism task force. Like he moved his way up in the NYPD.
Yeah, because he lived in New York when 9/11 happened.
Right.
And he went to go donate blood. And what it did was motivate him to join the NYPD because he wanted to help. He wanted to like make things better, whatever, whatever. But the longer he's on this task force and moving up the chain, they started getting paranoid and thinking of him as a terrorist. And they were moving him up so they can keep a closer eye on him. When he started questioning things, they demoted him, blah, 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 blah. Blah, his wife got sick. When she died, him and Ollie ran away.
Right. Oh, God. They found this tiny little island and they're
where
like,
they can't get hurt.
Where they can't get hurt.
Where they're safe. And I'm like, that's really not the best way to handle grief.
Right.
But everybody handles things their own way. So whatever. You do you, Sheriff. You do you.
Right.
So he's like, what could happen in a sleepy little town? I'm like, oh, God.
Well, Sarah, like, basically falls asleep. Basically, no, she didn't fall asleep.
Yeah, we all did. Get to the point.
She gets up and she says that she really hopes that she's wrong about this entire thing of what she's speculating.
Yep.
But it is what it is, I guess. Mm-hmm. So you do you and I'm going to go.
You go with your gut, I guess.
Yeah. So Sarah and her mother and Aaron are headed on a ferry.
Well, they're headed to the docks.
Headed to the docks to get on the ferry, but the ferry's nowhere to be seen.
Now, there's two ferries that come to the island. Both are not there.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor apparently sent them to go get fixed.
Correct. Sturge like pops up out of a boat. He's like, yeah, he sent him off to get, you know,
serviced or whatever.
Repairs or something.
And he's working on all the other boats that are at the dock. And Sarah asks him a couple questions about the boats that he's working on. She's totally sketched out.
Uh-huh.
And they quickly leave the dock because they realize that he's tampering with all these boats.
Yeah. And as they're like walking away, completely suspicious, he's like, make sure you come to the vigil tonight.
How about you stop?
Sturge.
Just shut up.
You're trying it.
Too hard. Too much. Just shut up.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
So back with the sheriff, he has a missing persons file for Riley pulled up on his computer screen.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, the lights go out.
Of course it does.
Mm-hmm.
The power goes out on the entire island.
Yes.
Of fucking course it does.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at the time and it's 7:50.
Of course.
He calls Sturge to report the outage. And Sturge and the mayor are at the power station.
Uh-huh.
So we flash to them. We see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is he unplugging the electricity?
Yep.
And he freaking did.
He tells
cutting wires.
He tells the sheriff that the whole island's out. He's working on it. And then when he hangs up, we see him taking all these like big ass spark plug things out of everything, put them in his pocket. So even if someone gets there, they couldn't put the power back on because these pieces were missing from
it. Right. And of course, they don't have extras on the island.
Of course not. They don't even have extra letter A's. How are they going to have spark plugs? I can't.
Oh my God. You're probably right. So when they get off the phone with the sheriff, the mayor asks about the rest of the boats, making sure that he took care of the rest of the boats and to take down the, I guess, power or whatever to the cell tower when everybody's asleep or they're in church.
Yeah, because they don't want to like strike up too much alarm.
No.
With just the power being out, people won't panic because they'll still have their phones on them. But once everybody's like at mass tonight or whatever,
because
that's when they're going to get rid of the cell tower so people don't start getting suspicious.
Correct.
Mm.
Okay.
I hate it.
So flashing back to Sarah's dining room table where we have her mother and we have Aaron sitting there. They're talking about what is happening with the electricity, the boats that are having like are all being maintenanced or whatever.
Sketchy.
And the cell tower. So they know exactly what's happening.
Yep.
Sarah's mother asks if they can take a rowboat and Sarah reminds her that they are surrounded by 30 miles of water.
Yep.
In every direction. And that's not an option.
Mm-hmm.
Good option. But
Not viable. I like where you're going, but it's not possible right now.
Appreciate that. But yeah.
Erin says that she's going to be going to mass though. Because Mildred doesn't want to go. Millie's like, we're not doing that. This is crazy. I don't know what's happening. Something's going on. We're not going to mass. Well, Erin says that she's going because she has to pretend like she doesn't know anything.
Correct.
So all of a sudden, if she just stops going to mass, it's going to cause more alarm than her showing up there. Because Riley trusted her to keep his secret and she has to help somehow. So she's going to go there because the people that Riley loved will be there.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Which is really nice.
It's very sweet.
It's kind of sketchy. I don't know if I agree with her, but I don't know.
She's doing her best. She's doing what she can.
She's doing her best. Uh-huh. Okay. So the sheriff is praying and wishes that his son would pray with him. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't ready to go to bed. Ali said that he was planning on going to the vigil that night.
Yeah. And Ali's like, I wish you'd come with me. Everybody wishes you would be there. Yeah. And now he is guilting his dad into going.
Yeah.
And then Ali says that it's supposed to be this huge mass and some type of miracle is going to happen to them.
Right. And everybody's talking about it.
Yes. Sheriff gets triggered. It kind of gets his attention and he's like, oh, okay, maybe I will go and kind of rethink it. Because as soon as he said something was going to go down at mass, he thought about what Sarah was talking about.
Yeah.
And Riley being missing.
Putting pieces together.
So he's like, I guess I should go in case some shit goes down.
I think it's for the best.
Uh-huh.
So Beth goes into the mayor's house to get the three of them. Mm-hmm. And they set off walking with, you know, candles lit.
Yeah.
Singing church hymns.
Yeah.
Things like that. The whole island gathers with them as they're walking down like the main road of this town.
They had a fuck ton of candles with them.
Oh my God.
They had like baskets of candles. And as like townspeople were coming out of their houses, they're just handing them candles.
Yeah.
And now they're all singing together, just like walking. Because there's like one main road. They all have to walk everywhere. So they're all passing everybody else's house in this neighborhood. And all these people are just coming out of their houses and just joining in, singing and lighting candles and walking together.
Yeah.
It was kind of creepy for me.
It was a little creepy. I mean.
It was like, they were, I don't know, because Bev was leading them all to like.
Death.
Death. I didn't like it.
I know. Ugh. We said too much.
Ugh. Okay.
So Erin, Sarah, and her mother also join in as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
to kind of keep up with the facade.
Of course. Mm-hmm. As this is happening, we see Sturge cutting the wires to the cell tower.
Yeah.
And then he joins the parade as well.
Yeah. The parade. I love it.
The service starts.
Uh-huh.
Father Paul walks down the aisle, starts the sermon.
He was wearing one of the gold.
Oh, the gold one.
Too.
Yes.
As soon as he wore it, I remembered because the first time he showed up, mm-hmm. he was wearing the gold. And the Bev, the Brady bitch, was like all giving him a hard time about how that's only for a feast. And as soon as he comes in the gold, I'm like,
something's going to happen.
Some feast is going down. I don't like it. I don't like it.
He tells them that tonight, that it is the beginning of a new era.
Ugh.
He talks about his own sin, about lying to everybody. Mm-hmm. He said that he has been blessed and healed and stands before them.
Yeah.
And then asks them for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because he tells them that basically, I lied to you because, hey, I am Monsignor Pruitt. In the flesh, bitches. What's up?
Hey.
I didn't come here to replace Monsignor Pruitt. He isn't recovering in a hospital in the mainland. He's perfectly healthy. He has been blessed, as you have all been blessed. He has been made well, made whole, made young, the same as you. He was healed long before you ever saw this face. He was the first, in fact, and he stands before you right now.
So he goes on to tell them about he was walking in Jerusalem, met by an angel mm-hmm. that made him young again. But for doing that, there was a price for everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that everybody needs to witness it and call Sturge down to the front.
Oh, boy. He says that we're all going to be tested tonight. And I don't like that. For whatever reason, that like verbiage that he used kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
And it just like. I didn't like it because they're all so vulnerable there.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're all going to be tested. I'm like, no, you're just manipulating and taking advantage of all these people.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. Anyways, so Beth goes into the back room, mm-hmm. grabs the blood of Christ.
That like gold goblet thing.
Yeah.
But then we also see these trays.
Oh, yeah. Plastic cups.
With plastic cups. And then when it pans out, we see gallons of the rat poison.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I said, what in the actual fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Here we go. Uh-huh. So Father Paul takes the cup from Bev, walks down to Sturge, tells everyone that this will be frightening for all of us,
mm-hmm.
and asks Sturge if he is afraid. He said that he is not and drinks from the cup.
Yeah, because he trusts Father Paul.
There was no hesitation whatsoever. Ugh. So Father Paul holds him and he starts like spitting up blood.
Convulsing.
He's dying.
Because he just drank a goblet of rat poison.
Yeah.
And the whole time Father Paul's like, I'm with you. I'm with you. He's all right. He's okay. I'm with him. And he's like, I'm like, are you kind of convinced them or yourself? Like, what's happening?
I don't.
But he's holding them. So basically, Sturge is facing everybody in their pews.
Yeah.
And his arm, like a bear hug around him so that Sturge's back is pressed against Father's chest. And he's telling him all this as the entire congregation is watching him die and spit up blood in front of all of them. They all freak out.
Well, I mean, I would too.
Yes.
I'd be like, what in the hell is happening?
He's spitting up blood.
I can't. Father Paul. I've got some things to say to you, especially at the, you know, when we get through this entire series.
Yeah. It doesn't get better, guys. Hold up.
It doesn't get better. Mm-mm. So the sheriff grabs his son's hand.
Yeah.
And they start walking out until they see the angel standing at the entrance door with these glowing eyes.
Yeah. And he's wearing, I don't know what they're called, so forgive me anybody, but what the father was wearing, that like gold outfit he was wearing.
Yeah.
The demon angel thing is wearing one too. With his wings cut out the back.
It's a wing cutout.
It's like that butt flap we're talking about with the trench coat.
It is a butt flap. Wing flap.
So yeah, of course, Sheriff and Ollie are like, the fuck? And they kind of get back into their pew because they see this he's tall.
He's huge.
And he's got these glowing eyes and he looks evil and he starts walking down the aisle of the church and everybody's like,
he spreads out his wings.
When he gets to the altar, they're all staring at him and his giant wingspan is like, and they all are freaking the fuck out at what the hell is on the altar right now.
I'm freaking the fuck out too. So I'm like this is not going to go well.
Ugh.
Father Paul starts saying that he is such a blessing and he's here to show himself to everybody. Then Sturge becomes undead.
On cue.
And everybody gasps. Did I do that right?
It was great.
Okay. Because, I mean, there's like a mix of emotions happening.
Yes.
We just watched somebody drink rat poison, die. A freaky angel comes walking down the aisle, spreads his wings, Sturges away. Yeah. What the fuck is happening?
But Father Paul knows he has them all wrapped on his freaking finger because I know this is a more dramatic version, but it's similar to what happened with Lisa. He's there taunting her, like, get out of your wheelchair. And they're all like, oh my God, how evil. She can walk? Give me whatever she's having. Like, it's the same kind of mob mentality of like, what the fuck just happened? Oh, wait. Okay. I'm listening. It's the same thing that's happening.
I know.
Ugh.
But you're doing.
Ugh. I hate it.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
You're having people ingest rat poison.
Yes.
I just have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Bev comes out with the trays, her and Sturge.
Bev.
And they're handing out the rat poison to everybody in the congregation.
So we have small plastic cups filled with rat poison.
Yeah.
We're distributing them to the entire congregation.
Mm-hmm.
We're expecting everybody to drink this rat poison,
die,
and come back to life.
Yes, because according to Father Paul, they've all been drinking at communion the blood of Christ, and that has this angel demon blood in it, so they all have it in their system, so they all come back to life.
The final transformation will not be yours unless you let your earthly body die so that your divine body can awaken.
I can't.
Okay. So as everybody gets their cups, Father Paul says it's just a small step of courage.
Yeah.
And to not be afraid.
Yeah.
Everybody is freaked the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
And he said that they have to leave their human body to live forever.
Okay.
So this is it for the sheriff. He's like, fuck this shit.
I know.
He slaps the cup out of Ali's hand and he takes him to like leave.
Yeah.
And
now the sheriff has a gun.
Sarah told him to bring one.
Well, yeah, because he's like, I don't use a gun. Why do I need a gun here?
Because during his entire monologue that he had with Sarah in his office in the back of the grocery store, he was saying that since the town is so sleepy, he doesn't even carry a gun. So Sarah's like, you may want to reconsider tonight.
Yeah.
And he did.
And he did.
He got one on his hip.
He listened.
And then all these people are coming out of their pew to stop him. So he grabs his gun and points it, and everybody's like, again. And to show that he's not playing, he shoots it at the ceiling.
Yeah.
But then he gets jumped. All these guys jump on him, pin him to the floor, knock his gun out of his hand, and they hold him there.
And he's like, don't drink it.
He's trying to tell Ollie not to do it, but the Brady bitch is like, ugh. Oh, my son, what do you want? Do you want to live forever? And she hands him a cup, and he fucking throws it back.
He does.
No hesitation, like a straight up shot.
He chooses God and, you know, he just downs the poison.
Ooh.
Everyone else does the same thing. Everyone starts dying.
I felt so bad for Sheriff because he's only trying to do good by his son and he had to watch his son drink the poison and die in front of him.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
I just have a hard time with it. Mm. Have a hard time.
Yeah. So now the mayor does it. His wife Dolly does it. Lisa doesn't because she's freaked out by it.
Well.
So most of the people in the congregation are drinking this poison. But there's a bunch of people who are, of course, like Annie didn't do it. Ed didn't do it.
Yeah.
Warren didn't. His friend. I can't remember his friend's name. Who's the altar boy with him?
Ogre.
I can't remember his name. Ogre throws back a shot. So many people are throwing back this poison. And there's a select people who are like sketched out. Of course, Sarah and Mildred and Aaron aren't doing it.
Of course not.
And they're trying to get people to stop drinking this stuff. But they're all like, uh-uh. Shot, shot, shot.
Yeah.
Everybody. shot.
I mean, when you are saying they're throwing back.
Yeah. That's what they were doing.
It
looked like they were just throwing back vodka or something. It's insane.
You know that's alcoholic verbiage, right? I'm not judging. I just want to call it out.
What are you trying to say?
Well, I mean, throwing back.
Well, how would you have said it?
Drank the poison?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. You're throwing it back.
But like in
they
my
did.
Head.
They did throw it
because
back.
There's like no, they're not like sipping at it. They're just like taking it like shots.
Well, you couldn't sip it. I don't think it's a sipper.
It doesn't taste good. There's no way.
No, uh-uh. Not at all.
You don't just sip Jaeger. You just get rid of it, you know?
I do like Jaeger though.
Ugh.
I do.
Ugh, I don't.
I don't.
Nope.
Okay, so Sarah's mother grabs the sheriff's gun that's laying on the ground and shoots Father Paul.
Oh my God. I love that she did it.
It came out of nowhere. I was not expecting this.
Good for her. She got him right in the face.
Yeah.
Like right in the head.
So the angel gets pissed.
Uh-oh, he not like it.
Swoops towards her, carries her out of the church, she's gone.
So fast.
So fast.
Like, no one could react to it, because all of a sudden it let out with this weird screechy thing.
Yeah.
And it flew lightning speed off the altar, grabbed her, and Sarah, before she could even know what happened, looked, and she got blood splash on her face.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, boy.
But there's a lot happening.
There's so much happening.
There's so much happening. And I said, oh, my God, they're keeping these doors locked so the people that didn't choose to die would be used for food. To die.
Well, I don't think that was the plan. So, because I think the plan was for the father to, like, convince everybody. Because the father is not evil like BB is. Like, the Brady bitch.
Wait a minute.
My notes, I have BB in all
you
my notes.
You call her BB?
In all my notes. Because Brady bitch was a lot to write after a while. So, she obviously is fucking awful.
Right.
He doesn't have good intentions either. He's not a good person. Let's be real.
Right.
But his whole goal was to get everybody to drink it and they can all live happily ever after together on the island as weird angel blood-sucking vampire things.
Right.
But he gets shot in the head, so his plan gets foiled a little
bit. That's true. Oh, yeah, Miss Kern, or she tells him to lock the doors.
Yeah, so she tells Sturge, because his head's all covered in blood, she tells him to unlock the doors. Oh, no, was it to lock the
doors? To lock the doors.
So Sturge is like, okay, but that's not what he wanted, and she tells him to do it, so he locks everything up.
Of course he does.
So now everybody is coming back, everybody who drank the poison is coming back as these evil zombie vampire things.
Ew.
And they are hungry.
They are. And I was like, did she know that this was going to happen? And
of course.
Were all going to be like trapped? The people that didn't? Because there were obviously going to be some people
because
that were not going
to
do it.
Because I think according to Bev was that the people who didn't participate were going to get bit by these other vampire things, but they're going to turn into these vampires anyway.
Right.
So I think to her in her awful manipulative way, it doesn't fucking matter how they get to it. Because either way, everybody gets what they want out of them.
Right.
So everybody starts waking up as these crazy glowing eye vampires and they are hungry and they are attacking each other. So anybody who didn't drink the poison, like for example, children.
Right.
Are being attacked by these adults who are now these gross zombie things and they're biting their necks to drink their blood because they're starving.
Right.
So like, I think again, the father's plan was to teach these people like he did with Riley was how to contain that hunger because they
Correct.
All see everything glowing. They see their throat pulsating. So these people are all hungry. So what he did with Riley was teach him how to just suppress his hunger like the father can do.
Mm-hmm.
But these people have no guidance because the father has been shot and he's on the altar.
Correct.
He's not dead because he has that eternal life. So he's just in that healing process, but he can't do anything. So everybody's just out for blood trying to murder each other.
Yeah, I think they were probably going to keep the doors locked too because, yeah, to teach them.
To contain them all.
Before they let them out.
Before it got crazy.
Right.
Well, it's already crazy because Bev is fucking in charge now and I can't stand a bitch. So Aaron, Sarah, the sheriff, Warren, Lisa, and Annie are all okay. None of them drank anything and they haven't been attacked yet.
I have a question.
Yes.
Because at this point, because they're kind of huddling together,
yes.
The people that didn't drink it, why didn't they break a fucking window?
I don't know.
That irritated me because I'm like, break a fucking window.
Right.
Like, obviously all the doors
get
are
out
locked.
Somehow.
I just...
Well, I think they try to beeline... So they're trying to get to the back. Like, there's a room behind the altar they're trying to get to. So Ed is still alive too. So they're trying to get through it. But as they're trying to get to the back room, Ed gets grabbed by these zombie people.
Yes.
And Annie is freaking out and he's like, just run. And he gets attacked by these zombies. And I hated it.
I know.
Poor Ed. I mean, I like that Anne made it out before Ed did. Because I feel like Ed had a little bit coming to him. Even though I don't like to say that. But
well, this is supposed to be an eternal thing. This is not supposed to be a bad thing, Stephanie.
But it is a bad thing.
Well, I mean,
this whole thing is a fucking awful thing.
It is an awful thing.
Because it was not contained because the Brady bitch is fucking awful. Anyway,
right.
So they get into the back room. Recap again. Aaron, Sarah, Mildred's gone because the demon took her out. So
yes.
It's Aaron, Sarah, Sheriff, Warren, Lisa, and Annie.
Yes.
Are in the back room and the clothes are behind them. Courtney, who else is in the fucking back room?
My hand's raised.
Yes.
Okay. It's Beth.
This bitch is hiding.
She is hiding. Straight up hiding.
She caused all of this shit to go down with everybody attacking each other and sucking each other's blood. And this bitch is hiding?
Yeah, she does. And then Aaron has a gun, like holding it out to her.
She grabbed the sheriff when that was on the floor before they left.
Yeah. And she's like, what are you going to do, Aaron? You going to shoot me?
Oh, she's such a bitch.
And then she does.
Because she goes... She goes, you're going to shoot me? I'll have like 5 minutes before I come back for you. And as she, before she can even finish, no hesitation, Aaron shoots her in the gut.
Yeah.
And then she turns to everybody, which I love. She goes, all right, we got 5 minutes.
We got to go.
It was my favorite. I was like, I love it. So they leave and then kind of step over the Brady bitch to get out the back door of the church. They leave the fucking door open, but whatever.
Of course, well, I mean, what does it matter? It's fine.
Just close it. I just think it's one little extra delay, a couple extra seconds of a delay.
You're not wrong.
Whatever. But they all leave. And a little while later, Bev, in her zombie way, sits up and now her eyes are glowing.
Of course they are.
Because she's been killed and reinvented as this weird, creepy, blood-sucking vampire angel demon thing.
Yeah. They show pictures or, of the church.
Yeah.
And it is like complete carnage in
massacre.
There.
Massacre. Yep.
It's just, there's blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
She tells Sturge at this point to open the doors.
Yeah.
Father Paul, who is like trying to like recuperate himself.
Yeah. He's conscious. He just can't get up.
Right. He can't talk. He can't do anything. He's shaking his head no.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like still lying on the ground. Sturge reminds her that Father Paul said to keep the doors locked so that they can be guided and oriented after all of this happened. She said that the doors will always stay open. And how else will the gospel spread?
I hate her so much.
I know. She is horrible. Oh,
she's such a manipulator. I can't stand
her. I know. Ugh. But that's how that ends. That's how this episode ends.
And then we see just blood all over the walls of the church.
It's
so bad.
It's so bad. There's people that are,
It's bad.
It's bad.
Everything's awful. It was a massacre. Straight up carnage. You were so right. Oh, God. Well, you're right. Episode 6 is over.
So.
A little bit of a cliffhanger.
That was... What are we going to do now?
Episode 7.
Okay.
Which is the final episode.
Thank you for reminding me.
Episode 7 is the final one. And we'll get everything all wrapped up in a cute little bow for you guys.
Yep. You can't wait.
Okay. Obviously, reminders again.
Yes.
TipsyPod.com is where you just have to be all the time. It has everything on there. It's always updated with new episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It has ways to our social media, ways to support our show. You could buy us a glass of wine at buymeacoffee.com.
Yes.
$3 goes a long way. $2 helps us, and $1 helps the Puppies and the Kitty Humane Society.
Yes, that's right.
And who doesn't want to help the puppies and the kitties?
We do.
I love the puppies and the kitties.
I know. Can we just get a bunch of them just running around in here? That'd be great.
I'd be so distracted.
I know.
Unreal. Little puppies would be so cute. Also, you can get some Tipsy Pod merch.
I think we're repping some today.
We are. I have our rainbowy one, and you have the I Might Be a Gremlin shirt on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love this shirt. It's my favorite.
I have, I think, two versions of it. I think I have a t-shirt and a tank top version. I wear them a lot.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because I might be a gremlin. Anyway.
Well, that's true.
So go on our website, find some swag that works for you guys, and, you know, help support our show. So
absolutely.
Check it out. And watch episode 7 of Midnight Mass and come hang out with us again as we talk about how it ends.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Is happening.
What now?
It's just not loading.
What?
IMDb, get it together.
Is it the interwebs that are having a hard time?
Yes.
All of the interwebs?
The entire interwebs is just not participating today.
He like spreads out his wings. Oh, sorry. I got excited.
$2 helps us and $1 helps the puppies and the kitty at the Humane Society. At the Humane Society.